I'm Ivo, and I'm the founder and CEO of Unbuyer Wallet. And I'm going to tell you about the future of Ethereum wallets and Ethereum UX. And two technologies are at the core of this, and that's smart contract wallets, kind of also known as account abstractions, and MPC, otherwise known as multi-party computation, and sometimes referred to as threshold signatures in this case. The question is, can self-custody be the future for the next billion users? How can we onboard the next billion users? And there's a big myth in the space that most people are not ready for self-custody. But the actual reality is that most self-custodial wallets are not ready for the users, not the other way around. I'm guessing, can I get a show of hands who saw the account abstraction panel yesterday with Vitalik? Cool, yeah. So you all know that seed phrases are absolutely terrible, and they're an absolutely terrible way of backing up your private key. And we have so many problems in the industry with compromised keys, software wallets being vulnerable to malware and to supply chain attacks, which is quite scary. Like a single NPM library can like completely wreck your wallet security. And of course, you know, we have social engineering attacks, like for example with Bored Apes. Generally, all of those things can be solved by multi-factor authentication, and on the chain we call this multisigs. And why are multisigs kind of a silver bullet? So first of all, by having multiple keys, or you can think of it as multiple shards of a single private key, but it's actually multiple keys, you can actually onboard users without making them write down a seed, and without worrying that they would lose access to their account. So basically, a simple example would be to have a key on your laptop and on your phone. You can also recover your account with methods like social recovery that Argent pioneered, but there's also other ways of recovery. You can also generally do multi-factor authentication, which is way more secure and prevents you from malware. And of course, you have resistance to hacks and compromised keys. For example, if you have malware on one of the devices, you will not be that vulnerable. So there are two ways to achieve a multisig on an EVM chain. One of them is smart contract wallets, and a lot of you have heard about account abstractions, and account abstractions are basically a way to pave the way forward for smart contract wallets, but I prefer to call this like smart contract wallets. I prefer to call all of these technologies smart contract wallets, or smart wallets for short. And this is basically where each account is a smart contract, which allows for any custom execution logic, including multisigs, of course, and then MPC refers to multi-party computation, and in the context of wallets, it means that it allows you to have like threshold signatures, so you can sign by, the signature could be by multiple parties, or you can do N out of M, so like 2 out of 3. Let's start by busting some myths about smart wallets. So one of them is that smart wallets cannot sign messages, and I'm sure that many of you have heard that, but the reality is that smart wallets can sign messages just fine. You just need a bit of custom logic for verification, which is EIP 1271. Then another one is that smart wallets, and I've heard that in the past, that they produce a different address for each chain, so it's kind of tough to use. But that's not really true, because you have create two now, and you can create accounts counterfactually at the same address on all EVM chains. Again, it was mentioned in the panel. And then the other one is the gas overhead. Gas overhead still exists, but it has gotten a lot less in the last years, again, thanks to proxies, minimal proxies, and thanks to counterfactual deployment. Unlike MPC, smart wallets can do many more things than just multisigs. They can do time locks, they can do spending limits, again, something that was fantastically covered on the panel. And this also allows for recovery mechanisms like social recovery, for example, seedless onboarding, like we have on Unbuyer Wallet, just with an email and a password, while not compromising the non-custodial nature of the wallet. It's also mutable, which means that you can change the authentication scheme. Like, you can start with a seedless onboarding account where you have an email and a password, and then as you become more versed in crypto, you can upgrade this to a Trezor or a Ledger, and you can you can set the Trezor and the Ledger to be like the sole owner of the account without changing the address, without having to move funds, which is amazing. Then you have gas abstractions, which allow you to pay for transactions in stablecoins. So like if you're a new user onboarding to crypto, you can sign up with an email and a password, then fund your account with an on-ramp, and then you would receive USDT, and you would be able to swap that, for example, for Ether without having Ether for gas. And of course, you can batch transactions, so do multiple things in one transaction. Again, a fantastic example from Argent was the NFT shopping cart, but a simpler example would be on Uniswap. When you have an approval, the approval would get batched together with the transaction, so you wouldn't have to do it separately. And there are more exotic use cases, like for example, custom cryptography, like enabling the NIST curve, which would allow using iOS biometrics and web authentication. And there are of course some drawbacks of smart wallets and some adoption challenges. Like you have gas overhead. As mentioned previously, it's not so much as people think. You just have around 1,000 to 2,000 gas per transaction, and around 40,000 gas for deployment, which is added to your first transaction. But the main challenge is DApp adoption. So a lot of DApps either block smart contracts intentionally because they believe that that's not a wallet and it's some sort of automation. That's basically what NFT means. And the other thing is many DApps just don't implement smart contract signing, but this is quite easy to fix. So when would you want to use MPC wallets? So one of the benefits of MPC wallets is off-chain recovery, which is cheaper and easier, but not as flexible. Then the other thing is they're truly cross-chain, so there's no dependence on smart contracts. So for example, you can support Bitcoin, or you can support basically any chain that uses elliptic curve signatures. There's no gas overhead, and there's no kind of drama with the signatures, like signatures just work with any DApp. But there are some problems with MPC, and one of those is that they require custom cryptography. And there are not that many libraries so far, and they're not that well battle-tested as normal elliptic curve signature libraries, and it's kind of an experimental technology. But then the main problem, I think, is the immutable authentication rules, which basically means that when you create, like, for example, a 2 out of 3 multisig, you cannot just swap out one of the signers. You cannot make it like a 2 out of 4, or you cannot make it like a 3 out of 4. It's just immutable. Like once you create it, that's it. Which also creates some problems with recovery, right? So you can recover the account once, but then you can't change one of the keys. So like if you lost the key, then it's kind of bad. And it's also limited to multisigs. You don't have time locks, so that limits you a lot as well. There's no gas abstractions, but that's not in the slide because it's more of a benefit of smart contract wallets. And finally, also a very big thing, you cannot use it with a hardware wallet, at least not before those hardware wallets implement that. Of course, you can argue that you can pull requests to those hardware wallets, but at the moment you can't. And as a conclusion, I would say that smart contracts and account abstractions are the way to go. That's the future-proof way of doing accounts on Ethereum and on other EVM chains, on layer 2s, and etc. But multi-party computation can be fantastic for like some temporary use cases before DApps kind of get their stuff together. But yeah, definitely smart contract wallets are way better for the future. So that's it.
So one of the critiques for the smart contract wallets right now is that in the end, you still need a wallet with a private key to manage it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Both on DAOs and multisigs. So how did, I mean, any ideas of how to overcome it?
Well, that's completely true, but like on a fundamental level, we cannot get away from the secret, right? In any form of authentication, you have some sort of a secret. Just the great thing about smart contract wallets is that you can manage it and you can make it work, not like as a single private key, which is like the source of all authentication and like the one true point of authentication, but you can have multiple of those secrets, like a regular, like you have on, for example, on Google or on Facebook or on regular like human-friendly authentication scheme. So it is a private key, but you shouldn't think of it as a private key because EOA wallets, there the private key is king. It's like the single secret number where everything comes from, unlike smart contract wallets.